You are now listening to the Sinise Unfiltered Podcast with your host, Anthony Sinise, a hip, fresh, unfiltered perspective on all things dealing with sports, wrestling, music, politics, and everyday life. So get ready for the most opinionated man in the business. And now, Anthony Sinise.
Before I start the podcast off this week, I want to send my thoughts and prayers to the families and victims of the Asian community in Atlanta, Georgia. I would also like to send my thoughts and prayers to the families and victims in Boulder, Colorado. Sinise Unfiltered Maniacs, together we are better. Together we are stronger. Together we can conquer the world. It doesn't matter your race. It doesn't matter your gender. It doesn't matter your political party. We are all Americans. Let's treat each other as such. Get to know someone before passing judgment on them. What up? What up? What up? It's your boy Ant. Welcome to the Sinise Unfiltered Podcast, the hottest podcast in the game, the most unfiltered host of the podcast game. Yo, it's a movement, y'all, I'm trying to tell you. So, this week on the podcast, I have author Blair Kenny and Gina Gingello with a new book called The Untold Story of My Father, Sammy G. The media will portray people in a certain way and tell you what they want you to know. A lot of times, they don't want to tell you the truth. They don't want to say anything positive about a person. But this week, I have Gina Gingello, who's going to tell you the real Sammy G. Let's get it. We're going to dedicate this episode to the memory of Sammy G. Rest in peace. What is up, what up, what up? This is Anthony. Thank you for joining the Sinise Unfiltered Podcast. Today I have author Mr. Kenny Blair and Gina Gingello. Welcome to the show. How you guys doing?
We're doing great. How you doing?
Doing good,
doing good.
Not bad.
Awesome.
How you doing,
I'm good, man. Oh, doing good. Kind of cold down here in Florida today.
What's the high of 80?
Huh?
What's the high of 80?
That's probably in the 60s. It's cold for us today.
Ah, that's what it is in Rochester.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, I'll be there in a couple months visiting. So,
where are you located at in Florida?
I'm in Kissimmee.
Oh, okay. I'm in Daytona. It's a little chilly here, too.
Okay. Not that far. All right, so, you know, I got you guys on. I want to talk about the book. How did you guys link up to do the book?
Would you like to take that one, Blair?
I could start and then you could jump in. I met Gina like 4 years ago when I wrote my first book about the Rochester Mob Wars. It was 2017. I did the book signing in May, and it was my first book, and it, you know, really the first book about the Rochester Mob. It had really been put out there, and Gina had contacted me shortly thereafter and expressed her discontent with my choice of the cover of the book. So anyway, she shows up at my book signing and we had a little chat. You know, she wasn't real happy, you know, the first time we met. So I, you know, when we first met, things got off to a little rocky start. But you know, it wasn't too bad. You know, I explained, you know, what I was doing, and, you know, actually, when she actually went through the books, it wasn't nearly as bad as she thought it was going to be.
Okay.
So, then, it was, you know, I stayed in contact with her, you know, not very much, but, you know, I talked to her a couple times, and then recently, we started talking a little more when I did my book, Enter the Sea King, about Tommy Taylor. Tommy Taylor was the bodyguard and driver for Sammy.
Okay.
So, after that book came out, then we started talking a little more. I mean, and then Gina had made some references to me. She came to my book signing at Tommy Taylor's book signing at Bathtub Billy's. And actually, we chatted before the book signing. And, you know, she expressed her possible intent of doing a book about her dad. And then it actually moved very quickly, you know, after that. I'm not sure, Gina, perhaps you can tell them when you actually got the idea and, you know, really became serious with it.
I had been for years, like, just making references, basically in a joking manner, that I should write a book when I started seeing various people writing books and saying basically whatever they wanted. Mm-hmm. Not Blair. Blair's book was good. Books prior to him. And they could say whatever they wanted, and there was really nothing I could do about it. I disagreed with a lot of things. And once, because I'm still in close contact with Tommy Taylor, mm-hmm. and he highly recommended Blair, personality-wise, what a great guy he is, and Tommy wasn't lying. So I ran it past Blair, and he took on the project, which I was very happy about. So we discussed unseen pictures, and I was like, you want unseen pictures? I have unseen pictures. So I was very grateful that he took on the project, and so the friendship began to grow after that.
Okay. So just let everybody know, your father is Salvatore Sambigi D'Angelo, who allegedly part of the Rochester, New York's organized crime family.
Yes.
And when I saw a post about this, you know, I wanted to talk to you guys about it, because a lot of times when you talk about, you know, organized crime, they talk about, you know, New York City, Chicago. You never really hear anything about upstate New York, you know? And,
right.
You know, I thought it was very, very interesting. So tell us about your father. You know, we want you to tell us your side about your father.
I'm not denying in any way, shape, or form the organization that my father was involved in. But that was a part of his life.
Mm-hmm.
He was a wonderful father, a caring son, took care of his parents. He took care of everyone in the family. He wore his heart on his sleeve, which when he was in prison, there are letters from prison from him that, you know, he should have maybe thought what his head instead of his heart. And I think that once he came home, all that was going to change. He was a very loving, caring, giving person. But again, I'm not denying his involvement. From my understanding, he moved up in the ranks quite quickly. And they were, I guess, years ago associated with the Bonanno crime family in mm-hmm. New York City, which I, to my understanding, is no longer.
Okay.
But he was my everything, and the fabrication that he went to prison the first round, that the police officers fabricated evidence, and he was found guilty.
And that was in 1977, right?
That was in when he was when he went to prison was 1977. When he was released was January 30 or 31st. The dates are still, you know, the day apart. Mm-hmm. When they were released, him and five others, and then I thought, you know, I had him home for the rest of my life, but I didn't. Then he left me April 23rd, 1978.
Wow.
So. It was an emotional roller coaster, you know, writing down my memories and my thoughts. Mm-hmm. And I thank Blair for dealing with all my ups and downs. He was very patient with me. But I think we put out a book, good book together. Blair did a lot of his own research and newspaper articles, along with a Senate hearing report that he had sent me. That is, he told me, you're going to have more questions than answers once you read this report, Gina. And it was true. I did.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Mr. Kenny, what did you learn from Gina that you didn't know about Mr. Sammy G?
Pardon me?
What did you learn from Gina that you didn't know about Mr. Sammy G?
Oh, what did I learn about him? All kinds of things. I mean, basically, the entire book is filled with things I didn't know about Sammy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Gina really opened up her personal life, you know, and, you know, we put probably 100 personal photos into this book that have never been published before in any newspaper, magazine, or anything. This is all her personal, you know, this is her life story.
Mm-hmm.
All that was due to me. The only thing I had ever known that before my book with Tommy Taylor, everything I had known was purely research. And a good percentage of my research came out of the local newspaper, the Democratic Chronicle. I did get into some Senate hearings, and I did read a lot of court testimony. But, you know, a lot of the stuff I used came directly out of the newspaper. But, you know, so that's basically common knowledge.
Yeah.
This book here, like I said, it is Sammy's entire life and how Gina and her father interacted. In between those stories that Gina was telling me, I have Sammy's criminal history interwoven basically for a timeline, you know, so you can see what things were going on, you know, his gambling arrest, when Gina was this age, and where they were living and things they were going through in their personal lives at the same time that, you know, these other things were happening in his life. So, you know, just the family stuff alone was all through to me, you know, and just seeing the up close personal that, you know, that was new to me. Yeah. You know, I've talked to a few family members of people I have written about, but nothing in depth. It's more been explaining to people why I did what I did. But with Gina, I mean, she just opened, you know, her entire life story right up to me. And basically now to the public in her book. So,
okay.
The whole thing's fascinating.
Yes, I can't wait to read it. So, Gina, you know, you were 15 when your father passed.
I was 14.
14? Okay.
Yes.
What was the fondest memories of you and your father? Because I know, because that daughter, father-daughter bond can't be, never be broken. You know, I have a little daughter, and that bond is something that is so special.
Very, very special, and you always have that. My fondest memories, I mean, to other people it may sound strange, is as soon as I could walk, I mean, he would take me to the Young Men's Social Club, and I would spend the day with him over there while the guys were playing cards, and I'd play shuffleboard and, you know, walk around the tables, we'd eat, and down on Clifford Avenue, we would go across the street to this bar called Cozy Corner, and later in the afternoon, he would have a cocktail, and I would get my kitty cocktail. You know, I thought I was, you know, all grown up, because I got a kitty cocktail. I could talk to him about anything. And I'm sure some things made him feel a little uncomfortable, but he stuck in there. He was a trooper. Mm-hmm. He always gave me a chance to explain if there was something he disagreed about or I wasn't behaving myself. You know, he'd always give me the opportunity, and I always had to get that one last word in, but he never raised his voice. I never got spanked. He never raised his voice. All he had to do was go, "Is it my turn?" And I'd say, "Yep." And he'd raise one eyebrow. That's when I knew to shut the hell up. And whatever Dad said, that's the way it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, the parties at his houses, the sleepovers, just him and me driving in the car being together. I mean, everything was always fun and special. And I'm sure it's like you. Your little girl always wants to be around Daddy.
I love it. It's a great thing. It's a great thing. So I know, Mr. Blair, you were saying how, you know, you read stuff in the papers, Democratic Chronicle, about Mr. Sammy G, and they'll portray a certain way of how they want the public to review him as. What's the biggest misconception of your father, Gina?
Well, that my father died an innocent man. All charges that were ever brought up against my father were all dropped. Mm-hmm. There was some, which I, you know, from Blair's research and that I've read, you know, that he has brought to my attention in my younger years, he had misdemeanor charges, but nothing, no federal charges, no that he was murdered anybody. And when he was convicted of that, it was overturned because the evidence was fabricated mm-hmm. by the Rochester Police Department. So nobody could ever say that, portray him as some people have in a certain book, a cold-blooded murderer. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the worst misconstruction of him. I don't think I said that word right, but.
Yeah, and I think that it's so unfair because, you know, if somebody's charged with something, then the charges are dropped, they're not convicted, but then there's no evidence and they're innocent, you know, and it's not fair to hold it over someone, you know?
Right.
No. So is the book already out?
No, it's April 24th. We're doing a book signing at Pineapple Jack's from 1 to 5, and that'll be the official release date.
Okay. So
I have a limited number of copies that are going to be, I still have to do a final edit on it. We're not going to release it till the next month.
Okay. So April 24th, 1 p.m. to 5 p.m., Pineapple Jack's, Rochester, New York. Now, what if somebody can't make it like myself? How can I purchase the book? Or how can somebody else purchase the book?
The book will be for sale in Webster at yesterday's Muse Bookstore.
Okay.
Immediately after the book signing, and the deli, Keller Brasella's Deli, he has four locations in Rochester, and it'll be for sale in all four of those locations.
Okay.
It'll be for sale on Amazon.
Okay, cool.
And probably on my website. At least, and possibly Indovinos at this point.
Well, we're going to send you a book.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Yes.
Okay. So, Candy, what do you want people to get from this book?
Gina, you want to take that, or?
I want them to understand that the person that they've read about in the newspaper and seen on the news and throughout the years, and then has been brought up, you know, anytime there was something relating to his lifestyle within the organization, he's always brought to attention. He wasn't just that person. He wasn't just involved in that organization. I want them to see, and I believe with our writings and putting this book together, that it's telling the story of from when it starts when the Gingellos came to Rochester and had their citizenship, the certificate. That in the ending of the book is all the first cousins writing their own special memory of their uncle, which he was very close with all of them. And it's telling the story of when he was the first pitcher, I believe he's 3 years old, and then goes on from there, how he developed his relationships with his friends. You know, they didn't just happen to meet one day. They met when they were younger, and how they, you know, formed their relationships, and how he worked at the public market. And, you know, he was a hard worker all his life also, but that's, you know, like, pushed in the shadows, you know.
Mm-hmm.
My family being involved in the union, and how my grandfather, you know, started. He was the first to start in the union, and Blair did a lot of research on that and found pictures. And so it's telling the story of the Gingello family also. It's, you know, his family, his brother, his brothers, his, you know, mother, his father, and then leading into me and, you know, going onward. So I think it covers all bases of that a lot of people didn't know.
Yeah, basically she told me she wanted to, I think the word she used was humanize her father, you know, tell the other side of the story, and something that the newspaper would never tell. There's no money in telling the other side of the story. I mean, Sammy was very well liked, very much a family man, and, you know, none of that stuff ever made it in the newspaper. You know, so that was something that, you know, Gina really wanted, you know. And that was the only part of her father that she ever knew. You know, she wasn't blind to the other stuff, but, you know, that's the stuff that she wanted people to know. And shortly after Sam died, you know, she did a large article in the Democrat and Chronicle basically expressing that same idea. You know, she was not happy with the original newspaper, you know, coverage. And she wanted to tell the other side of the story. You know, this is my father, you know. And basically, we're doing that again with this book, just a little more extensively.
Okay. Awesome. Yes, when I was 14, I contacted a reporter, Richard Tuttle. And he told me, you know, okay, write your story, I'll run it. And it was ran on in the Sunday paper on the front page. And I was very surprised. And then it was picked up by the Associated Press.
Oh, wow.
So it went all over. And Mr. Tuttle told me, you know, after my, you know, 15 minutes of fame, we'll call it, that when I get older, I should write another love letter to the world. And, so I ran that past Blair also. And Blair gave me that opportunity to write my second love letter to my father. So I appreciate that. Thank you, Blair.
That's beautiful. Well, I want to thank you both for coming on the show. I appreciate it so much. I'll be home in June, Gina. So hopefully we can meet up, say hello.
Oh, yes, most definitely. Yes, please.
Definitely. This has been the Sammy G, the Untold Story of My Father by Gina Gingello and Blair Kenny. Their book available April 24th. You can get it at Pineapple Jack's, 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. to be a book signing. And again, Mr. Blair, where else can they get the book from? One more time.
Calvary Sellers Deli, Yesterday's Views Bookstore in Webster. Okay. Calvary Sellers has 4 locations in Rochester. Okay. And it'll be on Amazon as well, in my website.
Okay, awesome. Well, I thank you so much for your guys' time. I know it's a Sunday, everybody's busy.
Right. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us on.
I thank you so much. Keep in touch, guys.
Okay, we will.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Sinise Unfiltered Podcast with your host, Anthony Sinise. Tune in again for more unfiltered discussions.